Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we are studying Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Yud Ches. In this Perek, we continue with the division of the land. Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Aleph, however, begins by telling us, Vayikalu kol adas b'nei Yisrael Shilo, the entire congregation of b'nei Yisrael assembled at Shilo, Vayashkinu sham es ohel moed, Vayashkinu from the root word shachein, mishkan, and they made the dwelling place for the ohel moed at Shilo. V'ha'aretz nichbasha lefnehem, the land was conquered before them. So Rashi here explains to us as follows, that they set up the Mishkan at Shilo. During the 14 years, the Gemara explains in Maseches Zevachim, during the 14 years since they entered Eretz Yisrael, the Mishkan remained at Gilgal. They had been too busy with the conquer and division of the land to establish a permanent dwelling place for the ohel moed, for the Mishkan. But once they began settling in the land, they were able to establish a more permanent location for the Mishkan, the house of God. In this instance, the walls of the house were made of stone, unlike the one that Moshe made, which was made of wood walls covered in gold. And instead of a roof, the Mishkan was covered with curtains of cloth and skins, just as it was constructed in the wilderness by Moshe. So we finally have here the Mishkan at Shilo, where it will dwell and rest for the next 369 years, until it will be destroyed by the invading Pelishtim. Once the permanent Mishkan in Shilo came into existence, it was the center of spiritual life for the B'nai Yisrael, and offerings, karbanos, could only be brought in the Mishkan in Shilo. Furthermore, v'ha'aretz nichbasha lefnehem, says Rashi, mishen nikbaham mishkan, ha'isa ha'aretz nocha likavesh lefnehem. Once the Mishkan was established, it became easier for them to conquer the land. So at this point in time, the land was not completely conquered, as we're going to see shortly in the psukim. However, they had faith that in the merit of the Mishkan, a permanent dwelling place for the Shekhinah, for God's presence, they would be blessed with continued victory in the remaining battles of the conquest. Vayivasu b'bnei Yisrael, they remained amongst the b'nei Yisrael, asher lo chalku asnachasam shiva shvatim. However, there were still seven tribes, the next pasuk tells us, right now in pasuk beis, there are seven tribes who still do not have conquered territory, who do not have their portion yet. And Rashi tells us that who already got their portion? Reuven, God, and half the tribe of Manasseh got their portion on Eber HaYarden, as we have learned. And who got their portion in the land of Canaan, Eretz Yisrael proper? Yehuda, Ephraim, half tribe of Manasseh. So this gives us five tribes that have their portion, but there are seven remaining tribes: Shimon, Dan, Naphtali, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, and Binyamin, who do not have yet their portions. Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Yoshua al Bnei Yisrael. Yoshua says to the Bnei Yisrael, Adana atem misrapim lavol rasha sa'aretz, explains Rashi, until how long will you remain weak to come and inherit the land that God gave to your forefathers? And Yehoshua says, we are going to appoint men to go through the land, and they will draw a map of all the remaining territory. Pasuk Dalet, everyone should appoint three men per tribe, meaning the seven remaining tribes that we just enumerated should appoint three men per tribe. What will I do with them? I will send them out. They will get up. They will travel through the land. They will write out according to the inheritance, the territory of land that is left. So they will make a map with the remaining portion and territory of the land that has not yet been plotted out. Now, why did Yehoshua choose three people for each tribe rather than one person per tribe? First of all, perhaps we can propose he remembered what happened when Moshe sent one person per tribe back in Parsha Shlach, Perek Yud Gimel Abba Minbar. Yehoshua, in fact, was one of those men per tribe. It was a disaster. Perhaps he is afraid. We can propose that if he only sent one per tribe, there would not be enough of a positive influence, and perhaps the mission would not be successful. The Kilas Yitzchak proposes as follows. Yehoshua wanted them to have the status of a court, a bastin, whose minimum number is three, and therefore he sent three per tribe. They will divide the remaining land into seven parts. However, Yehuda yamar al gavulo minegav. Yehuda will remain on his territory in the south. Rashi says, Eretz Yisrael, the south of Eretz Yisrael. Shosham nafalo gorel. Kol hametzer hadromi. Yehuda's portion was along the entire southern border. Uveis Yosef yamdu al gavulo mitzafon. The tribe of Yosef will remain on their border in the north. So Yehuda and Yosef already had their portions. They will remain strong and protecting their territory. And you, these three men, per each remaining seven tribe, will record the land in seven parts. And you will bring it to me, here, to Shiloh. I will cast lots here for you before Hashem, God. Furthermore, Pasuk Zion reminds us that Levi does not get a portion in the land. His portion is the Kuhunas Hashem. Furthermore, God, Reuven, Echatzi, Sheva, Menasha already got their territory on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Pasuk Ches, and the three men per remaining seven tribes listen to Moshe. Vayakumu ha'anashim, the men get up. Vayelchu, and they go. Vayitzav Yehoshua as ha'holchim lichtov. Yoshua commanded those who were going on this mission to record the remainder of the land, and he said, go, travel through the land, walk through the land, record, write down the remaining land, return to me, I will cast lots before Hashem in Shiloh. Remember the Perek began by telling us that the Mishkan was erected in Shiloh, and the men went, Pasuk Tes, and they passed through the land, they recorded it by city, Lishiva Chalakim al Sefer, seven parts into some sort of logbook. They make a map of the remaining unportioned territory of the land. Vayavo el Yehoshua. They come back to Yehoshua al Hamachan Shiloh, to the camp at Shiloh. Pasuk Yud. Vayashlech lehem Yehoshua gorel. Yehoshua cast lots in Shiloh before Hashem. Vayachaleik sham Yehoshua es arts. Yehoshua divides the land libnei Yisrael for the bnei Yisrael according to the divisions. The remainder of the perek, which is from Pasuk Yud Aleph through Pasuk Chav Ches, delineates the territory of the tribe of Binyamin. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayal Gora Mata Bnei Binyamin L'Mishpachosam. The law came out for the tribe of the sons of Binyamin according to their families. Vayetzi Gvul Goralam Bein Yehudu Ubein Bnei Yosef. So the Goral, the portion, the law of Binyamin, the families of Binyamin, falls between the Bnei Yehuda and the Bnei Yosef. Binyamin's territory, as delineated here in these Psukim from Pasuk Yud Aleph through the end of the Perek, the province of Binyamin is sandwiched between Yehuda to the south, Ephraim from the house of Yosef to the north, Dan to the west, and the Yarden River to the east. This is the territory of Binyamin as it is outlined in this perek for us, keeping in mind that these many of these places and geography, as we have mentioned in past prakim, are unknown to us today, but we have Binyamin's territory sandwiched between Yehuda on the south, Ephraim to the north, Dan to the west, and the Yarden River to the east. I would like to go back now to Pasuk. Bear with me for a moment. I'd like to go back now to Pasuk Aleph, actually. Vayikalu kol adas b'nei Yisrael Shiloh. The entire assembly of the b'nei Yisrael gathered at Shiloh. Vayashkinu sham. They set up the Mishkan there. Mishkan shachin shchina. The purpose of the Mishkan is that we should make God our neighbor. We should feel very close to the Ribono Shel Olam. Es ohel moed, the tent of meeting. V'haaretz nichbashal lefneihem. The land was conquered before them. We already said that Rashi said it would now be easier to finish the conquest and division of the land, since they had a permanent dwelling place for the house of Hashem. The fact that it says Vayashkinu Sham Es Ohomoi, the Be'er Moshe comments by inserting the fact before stating that the land had been conquered. First it says they made a place for the tent of meeting at Shiloh, then it says the land was conquered before him. The Psukim here allude to the true purpose of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. The Be'er Moshe says God gave Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people, not merely so we would have a place to live like all the rest of the nations of the world, but so that we would establish God's presence in the land. Without sanctity, without kedusha, without a place for the dwelling, without a home for the dwelling of God, so to speak, the settlement of the land would be useless. We would be no different, chas v'sham, than any of the other umos ha'olam. It is not just so that we should have a land to call our own, but it is a land where God's presence would dwell. And therefore, first priority after the conquest conquest of the land, they already had the Mishkan. Moshe built the Mishkan with Bezalel as a master craftsman, but it was to find a permanent resting place for the land. Says the Be'er Moshe, this reminds us that Eretz Yisrael without Kedusha, Eretz Yisrael without Torah, Eretz Yisrael without a dwelling place for the Shechina is not fulfilling the purpose for what God gave us, Eretz Yisrael. It was May 3rd, 1982. Prime Minister Menachem Begin, who is known as the most Jewish of Israel's prime ministers, faced an irreligious Knesset membership when he argued that El Al, Israel's national airline, should not be flying on Shabbat. And he began his speech 40 years ago. This was in 1982. 40 years ago, said Begin, I returned from exile to Eretz Israel. Engraved in my memory are the lives of millions of Jews, simple, ordinary folk, eking out a livelihood in that forlorn diaspora where the storms of anti-Semitism raged. They were not permitted to work on the Christian day of rest. They refused to work on Shabbat. They lived by the commandments, Zachar et Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho. So each week, they gave up two whole days of hard-won bread. This meant poverty for many, said Begin, but they would not desecrate the Shabbat. Shabbat is one of the loftiest values in all of humanity, originated with us, said Begin to the irreligious members of Knesset. It is all ours. No other civilization in history knew of such a day of rest. Ancient Egypt had a great culture whose treasures are on view in museums to this day. Yet the Egypt of antiquity did not know of a day of rest. The Greeks excelled in philosophy and arts. They did not know a day of rest. Rome established mighty empires, instituted a system of law relevant to this day. They too did not know a day of rest. Neither did Assyria, Babylon, Persia, India, China. None of them knew of a hallowed, sanctified day of rest. One nation alone sanctified Shabbat, a small nation, the nation that heard at Sinai, so that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you. Ours was the nation that enthroned Shabbat as sovereign queen. So are we in our own reborn Jewish state to allow our blue and white El Al planes to fly to and fro, as if we broadcast to the world that there is no Shabbat? In Medinat Yisrael, should we, who by faith and tradition heard the command at Sinai, deliver a message to all and sundry through our blue and white El Al planes? Shall we deliver the message, don't remember Shabbat, forget Shabbat, desecrate Shabbat? I shudder at the thought. That was Prime Minister Menachem Begin's speech to the Knesset on May 3rd, 1982. And he convinced the Knesset, and since then, El Al has not flown on Shabbat. Vayikalu kol ades b'nei Yisrael shilo, vayashkinu sham es ohel moed. Once the land was conquered, but b'nei Yisrael understood we have to find a permanent dwelling place for the Shechina, for the sanctity, for the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Torat Yisrael, so that the Shechina will continue to protect us, v'ha'aretz nichbasha lefneim, and then the land would easily, says Rashi, be conquered before them. Our learning today is Lilui Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef Alaha Hashalom.